Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a sales expert with over 40 years' experience, a business and sales coach, and an entrepreneur. After nearly 20 years working in sales for numerous national and international companies, my guest eventually worked up to VP of sales, where he hired, trained, managed an entire sales staff. But after spending decades on the inside, my guest decided it was time to step out on his own. So he founded Sales Alliance, a sales training and coaching company, which he ran successfully for nearly 17 years. Now, he's the co-founder and VP of My Food Chain, an affordable executive class coaching for anyone, anywhere, and at any budget. Now, let's hack Bruce Morrow. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is for owners, not accountants. And they've designed their product for the owners who don't want to learn accounting and instead want to focus on what they love to do. The all-new FreshBooks makes ridiculously easy cloud accounting software that's completely transformed how freelancers and small business owners deal with their day-to-day paperwork. It's been redesigned from the ground up and custom-built for exactly the way that you work. Get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, get paid quickly. The most important thing for everyone listening is that getting started on FreshBooks is extremely simple, even if you're not a numbers person. Actually, especially if you're not a numbers person. FreshBooks has created a super intuitive tool that makes creating and sending invoices ridiculously easy. You can use FreshBooks to create and send invoices in about 30 seconds. No formatting and no formulas. Just really simple, clean, and professional-looking invoices. Plus, you can add your own logo color scheme so that your invoice reflects your brand. And when you email a client an invoice, FreshBooks can show you whether they've seen it and whether they've opened it, which puts an end to all those guessing games. There's also a super handy deposit feature so you can invoice for a payment upfront when you're kicking off a project. FreshBooks right now is offering you a 30-day unrestricted free trial for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest, Bruce. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
Absolutely my pleasure. I think we're going to have a lot of fun today.
Well, let's hope so.
Nice. Let's do it. Bruce, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Wow. I think what I do is I concentrate on effective communication. I found that to achieve goals or to solve problems, you've got to effectively communicate, first of all, with yourself and then with others. And I believe that if you ask better questions, you get better answers. So it generally starts with asking the questions. And I start by answering them myself and then taking them to the marketplace. I think it's effective communication helps you achieve goals and solve problems. And that's kind of like the key to life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you might actually be right there. I'm kind of fascinated by this idea of asking yourself the right questions too. That's interesting. Well, I think lots of us ignore that step.
Yeah, I think so. And my favorite question right now is, what does that mean? So that, you know, generally when we start off having a thought or an idea or a vision of the future, it starts off vaguely general, like saying, I want to be happy. Well, my question always is, that's a vaguely general statement. What does that mean? And when I ask what that means, I use what I call the power of threes. I come up with three answers that tells me what that means. And if I need to further expand them, I just take those three answers and further expand those. But I start with the priorities. And what does that mean solves a lot of problems. I remember when I was a kid salesperson, I did not want to admit that I was young and didn't know that much. So I didn't ask enough questions when I was confused. Like if somebody would make a statement about, or they'd use an acronym and I didn't know what it meant, but I felt as a young person, I don't want to show that I'm young and stupid. So I wouldn't ask. And it didn't take me long to realize, no, that's the wrong thing to do. What you do is when you're confused, when you don't understand, ask. And I tell people all the time, you know, when you're confused, just ask. People will respect the fact that you did ask because you didn't understand, and it allows them to expand on it, and they like to talk.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a really hard thing I think it's a hard thing to start doing. We all want to ask those questions, but we don't. Because you're right, we don't want to look like the fool. So how did you, or what could you have been told, say, however many years ago it was that you were still doing this, but what could you have been told back then that you should ask those questions and just ignore the fact that you might look like the fool?
Well, I wanted to be the greatest sales guy who ever lived. And I hung out with very successful salespeople, and they used to tell me, hey, kid, shut up. You talk too much. You've got to ask questions and you've got to learn to listen. And I wanted to be a great salesperson, so I listened to what they said. And it's when I started to control my ego. Because as a young guy, I had a big ego. I wanted to be right all the time. I thought I was the smartest guy in the room. And I realized, because I was hanging around with really successful people, that I was not the smartest guy in the room. And I wasn't the best salesperson. And if I wanted to, I better learn to shut up, slow down, and ask. And I normally moved at a real high rate of speed, but I learned in time, no. When there's an issue, don't necessarily speed up and charge. Slow down and think. And you think by asking questions. And you get good answers by asking and pursuing it. And it was based on my goals and my vision of the future. I wanted to be an exceptional person, an exceptional performer. I wanted to be good at anything that I did. And so I paid attention to what the best did. And what I found was the best salespeople asked the best questions. And they shut up and listened, and people liked them. I was like, whoa, I got to learn how to do that.
Yeah. And this idea of, I think you called it the power of threes.
Yes.
So you have this question for yourself, and then you answer it three times. Is there value in like having bad answers or bad solutions?
Yes. Yeah, it's just like when we're brainstorming or mindstorming or thinking creatively, I tell people all the time, hey, stupid answers are good. Nothing's stupid. Nothing's dumb because it stimulates creativity. And once again, I learned this when I was young from one of my mentors, Brian Tracy. And before that, Earl Nightingale. They would mindstorm. And Earl Nightingale called it the 20 answer question. And they just ask a question and then they'd come up with at least 20 answers. What do we normally do? We come up with our standard two or three answers and then we go with them. And what I found was when I listened to these people, they said, you know what? Come up with a lot more answers. You're gonna be surprised at how often the key is going to be answer 14 or 19. And I started to do that. And I learned the power of questions. And I also learned the power of prioritizing. The reason why I use the power of three is most people, if you ask them, how would you do something? They can come up with 50 different ideas. And now they're overwhelmed with their ideas and can't figure out what to do. The reason why I say just come up with three answers, it allows you to prioritize immediately and you're not overwhelmed. And what's the worst case? You come up with a dumb answer, you scratch that out and pick another one.
Exactly. Yeah, and Brian Tracy, he's one of my favorites too. I had him on the show actually about 6 months ago and he blew me away. Yeah.
It was really He's cool. The man.
He really is the man. He really is, yeah. So at the beginning, you said your one thing is the ability to concentrate on effective communication. Now, every business expert, Bruce, is talking about this 80-20 rule. You're supposed to find that 20% that gives you the 80% of the results, do what you're good at, and delegate the rest. Bruce, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Early on, I was very, very bad at being patient. And I had to learn to be more patient. I was hard on myself and therefore I was hard on other people. But I learned that there are advantages to impatience and there are disadvantages. And I needed to determine the difference. And what I noticed was that when I went rushing into something, when my knee-jerk reaction made me rush into something, which was my habit, that was my want, it caused more problems so often than it should have. And I learned to slow down and think. The first thing that I do after my knee-jerk, oh my God, I got to do something about this, is slow it down, think this through. And that's when I go into Ask Better Questions and the Power of Three. Did that answer your question?
It does. So when you started, you were bad at patience.
Being patient.
Right. you've sort of figured out how to, I guess, overcome that.
Manage it. Manage my lack of patience, yes.
So what is this real, like, sort of this, is it innate within you, like, or something you've really had to work at? This, you seem to really have a good self-awareness about you. And so many of us have these bad sort of habits that we don't learn to manage.
Right.
So is this something like that you really worked on, or is this something you've always sort of had, being sort of coachable, like to yourself even?
No, I had to work real hard on it. It's one of the reasons why I read so much. I study the best and the brightest. I know that I'm not the smartest bulb in the chandelier, and therefore I've got to study smarter people. So I have a library of probably 13,000 books now. And when I am confused, when I'm overwhelmed, I pick up a book and I go to one of these geniuses, whether it's Ben Franklin, Brian Tracy, or Shakti Gawain, and it centers me, it slows me down, it makes me think, it changes my perspective. But I worked very, very hard. And that was the influence of Brian Tracy early in my career, because I was a sales guy, so I was in the car all the time. And he used to say, turn that car into a university on wheels. So I used to have audio programs that I listened to over and over and over again, because he would say, if you want to own this material, you have to listen to it at least 6 times to even get close to owning it, and then you have to actively review it. So no, I worked very hard, and as a matter of fact, as a young salesperson, I realized that I needed to understand psychology. I needed to understand human behavior. I needed to understand how the brain operated. And what was cool about it was, when I was studying that, I was studying me, as well as I was studying everybody else in the universe. So my first magazine subscription as a young salesperson was Psychology Today, because I knew that I needed to understand people. People sold to people and people bought from people. It wasn't companies buying from companies. It was people selling to people and buying from people. So I needed to understand people. So I studied psychology, human behavior, the brain, habits. And I still study those things. I still study that.
I love it. Where did this fascination with sales come from?
When I was a kid, I was very much into the American dream, freedom. I wanted to be free. And when I realized that the only job that would give me that sense of freedom was if I got good at sales. So I loved sales and I wanted to become great at sales, because I also saw the way that the top salespeople were treated as opposed to the people that were not top salespeople. The top salespeople had the freedom to do what they wanted to do, even back in the day. You know, I started out in the late 60s. So, and because my primary value was freedom, I decided to go into sales, and then I decided I had to get really good at sales, and then I would have the freedom to do what I wanted to do at all times. It would allow me, when I had children, which I did have, it would allow me to take time off, go to the doctor's appointments, go to their ball games, do things that other people could not do because they were not at the top of their profession. And freedom was very powerful to me. It's one of the reasons why I went into sales, and then I started my own business. I wanted the freedom. I wanted the control over my own time. I wanted autonomy.
Yeah. And you started your own business quite some time ago now. This is your second business you're now in, right?
Yes. I guess, let's see. My first business I started in 91.
Wow. And so what made you at the time, like with this quest for the American dream and freedom, which I think is why we all want to be our own boss and build our own things, like down deep, that's really an ultimate thing. But what made you sort of cross the line from sales for other people to starting your own thing?
Well, once again, it was, I wanted to be in control. And at the time I was vice president of sales in an outstanding organization. I was privileged to work with the best business guy I had ever worked with. And I realized that even as smart as he was, as good a business guy as he was, he made dumb decisions. And I said, and for the longest time, I wanted to be, you know, I aspired to be an entrepreneur, but I just didn't do it. Fear, whatever it was, you know, comfort. But I realized that, you know what, if I start my own business and I make the decisions, I have control. I have control over as much as I can have control over. And if the best business guy that I ever worked for made dumb decisions at times, hey, I can do that. I can make dumb decisions. And I have the guts to follow through when I make a dumb decision because I will realize it quickly and I'll make a better one. And it motivated me to say, you know what? It's about time. It's time. Just do it. And that's what I did. And my first year, I starved to death. I mean, I was used to making lots of money. And it was like, I got nailed. So, but that developed me. I learned how to deal with adversity. I learned how to deal with lack of cash flow. I learned how to borrow. I learned how to sell better. I learned how to manage my time, overcome my patience, and still be a good daddy. I mean, it was pretty cool.
Did you worry about, because somebody like yourself who loves to learn, loves to get better at things, and wants to sort of follow the people who are the greatest in their field.
Mm-hmm.
You had that with the company you were working at as VP of sales. Going into business yourself, you lose that because now you're the one out front.
Exactly.
Was that ever a concern with you, or how did you replace those people?
Well, it was a concern, and it was a big concern very early because I realized how overmatched I was. I was a sales guy who loved the sale, but now I'm a business owner and I had to do everything. That means I didn't have those support people. I had to think through how to get what I needed without having people under my beck and call. And it made me smarter. It made me faster. It developed my brain power. I thought a lot more creatively than I ever had before. It made me change bad habits. And there was only one time in my business that I said, you know what? I'm not sure that I made the right decision. And that day I decided, okay, let me just walk in on three headhunters and ask to go in and see the president without a resume, without a business card. And I got in to see all three of these presidents, owners of headhunting companies. They all wanted to deal with me. And it was the boost in my confidence that I needed to say, listen, if I can do that, I can run my business better. I just have to do a better job. And first of all, I got to do a better job of selling. And that's what I did. And that was a natural strength, or that was a developed strength. And that, and also the help of Brian Tracy, because I remember I had doubts about what I was going to do. And I said, okay, I'm going to take my favorite audio tape, How to Master Your Time. I'm going to play the side A and B over and over and answer every question that he tells me to answer. And if it takes me 24 hours standing at this credenza, I'm going to do it. It took me about 4 hours. All of a sudden, my world opened up. I knew what I needed to do. And then I proceeded to get my business in gear and start to be more successful.
Nice, nice. And so you ran, that was Sales Alliances, Inc.
Correct.
You ran that for nearly 17 years?
Let's see. Do the math. It's 91. Let's see. That was 25 years ago, right? And then, yes, I guess that was. Yeah, because
yeah.
About 8 years ago, Dave Hartman and I became partners and we developed My Food Chain.
Which is a separate and new business.
Yes, but the parent company is still Sales Alliances.
Oh, okay.
We did that just to make the paperwork easier.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. And what was your, when you went, decided to start My Food Chain, what was sort of your thought process behind bringing on a partner?
Well, Dave and I had met years before and I had been his coach. And he ran his own placement agency. He placed salespeople with big companies. And after about 6 years of doing that, he decided he wanted to make a change. So as his coach, he called me and we were having our Monday morning discussion. And I said, dude, if you're going to do something different, maybe we ought to look at working together. We get along well. We work well together. Let's try it out. And that's what we did on a handshake. We just said, okay, let's start working together and see what happens. And a lot of the reason why I brought in Dave, first of all, I needed a succession plan. He's much younger than I am, but also he was much more technically oriented. He was much more operations oriented. He thought differently than I did. He was a good governor on me. So we decided that we were going to try to work together. And 8 or 9 years later, it's going swimmingly. And it's one of the reasons why we're now position online, because of his expertise in taking something that I did face to face in the real world and taking it to the online world where we had, you know, the reach and the power to really change the world.
Yeah. And so it was crucial to you, it sounds like, that you guys had completely different skill sets.
Yes. We had common values, but different skill sets. And I think that was critical. Our sense of honor, our sense of ethics, our pride, they were consistent. Our family values, that they were all consistent, but he is much different than I am. And thank goodness. And the other thing is, we both listen to each other. You know, because we're both owners, there are two votes in the company. So before we do anything of major import, we make sure that both of us are on board. And I think that works a lot better than so many companies that I've coached, where it seems like so often the partners are just out of sync on values and also on what they want to do in the business, and they've not defined it. And that's where I say, that's where the power of effective communication comes in. And so many people just don't practice it.
Yeah. So this is fascinating. Let's see if we can dive into this a bit with like projects, we'll call it. But a new project idea in the company, say products. I know you guys have several products out. So let's say determining a new product, an idea comes through your inbox, somebody brings it to you at a meeting, or it just comes to you in a shower or on a walk, wherever it happens to be. I would love to know the process that you and Dave go through as a partner of deciding when a project is worth your, all of yours, time, energy, and resources.
Well, actually, we find it pretty easy because we constantly talk about, you know, and tweak our vision, our values, and our goals. So we know what projects are consistent with our vision of success and the future in our company, and whether they're consistent with our values that we hold, and whether they're consistent with our goals. And then it's just a matter of, do we like, trust, and appreciate those people? And if we do, if the project is consistent with what we want to do as a company and as individuals, and the people are consistent with our values, do we like them? Do we trust them? Do they appreciate us? Then we can do it. If it's not consistent, or we don't like, trust, and appreciate the people, we don't do it. Well, I find it a pretty simple process. And now when you're talking about when either one of us comes up with a good idea, generally, we let the other one know. And then we don't necessarily worry about figuring out right then. We might discuss it for a while, and then we go away and independently think about it. I think this is really the key. And once again, effective communication. Instead of us just talking about it, which we'll do a little while to stimulate our juices, then we go away and think independently. Then we come back together and talk about it again. And if after that second discussion, we're still on board, now we might assign resources like, okay, you do this, you figure out this, we'll do research, we'll get this person involved. I find over time, it's pretty easy to decide who and what we want to do because we've defined who we are and what we want to do and the types of people we want to hang out with before we choose.
I like that. I like your sort of strict adherence to your vision, your values, and your goals. And then also the people that you're going to work with within a project. Is that ever sort of part of the equation though? Like, is there a market for this new project? Do you know what I mean? Like, it might align with your vision, value, and goals, but it might not align with the marketplace.
Well, we have the advantage of knowing a lot of smart people, and we do ask people questions. Once again, effective communication. We're constantly asking our clients. We constantly ask prospects what they're looking for, what their goals are, what they're thinking about, what the problems are, what they've seen in the marketplace. We just sent out a survey the other day to our clients. You know, it's kind of like an accountability helper. And we get responses that it's amazing to me. Every time you ask people, the answers that they give you, which are thought out, they're sincere, they're helpful, and it gives us guidance as to what we should be looking for because we're problem solvers. You know, I grew up in the sales arena. You had to be a problem solver. That's how you made your bones. If you couldn't solve people's problems, why should they buy from you? So being a salesperson, I'm used to asking people what they want, what they expect, you know, what'll make it happen and what won't. And ask better questions, get better answers.
That's it. That's literally like, as somebody who has spent his whole life like growing into what he wants to become, which is what you've done,
yeah,
and now coaching other people, that's really it. It's just teaching people to ask better questions.
That's so much of it. And in doing so, it makes people think differently because, you know, I consider myself and my company an agent of change. Our job is to help people change. And as you know, people resist change. People resist change. So even if it's something good for me, I'm going to automatically resist it. And when I ask questions of people and shut up and listen and wait for their considered responses, it's amazing the problems that it solves and the barriers that it breaks down. But, you know, we ask better questions so that we think better. And if you ask me what I think is the biggest problem is people just don't schedule time to think. Everybody's doing, running so fast. What I've learned as I've gotten older is, nope, slow it down, dude. Slow it down because you've got to think this through. I remember another thing that I learned back in the day on time management. And I no longer believe in time management. I believe in priority management. I think sometimes when you get into time management, you get real efficient at things that don't count. But when you're into priority management, they all count all the time. So once again, when we talk about effective communication, Hartman and I are always realigning our priorities because stuff happens. Things change. What are the priorities today? They're different than the priorities were yesterday, even though your long-term goals haven't changed. But your priorities, they change in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I love that, priority management. All right, well, Bruce, this has been a fascinating conversation that I've enjoyed thoroughly. I do want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Yeah.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. It seems to be this gap, I think, that we live in as entrepreneurs. No matter what we accomplish in our careers, we're always to ourselves. Our success is always in front of us, meaning in 3 months when you hit that sales metric, or 6 months when you stand on that stage, whatever it is you set for yourself, you and I both know, Bruce, that seconds before you hit that goal, you're going to set 5 bigger ones into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how successful you look from the outside, from the inside, it's always, always in front of you. And sometimes we end up in this gap of never feeling successful. So you've come a long way since graduating university in the late 60s, building an amazing sales career, and now starting and running successfully 2 businesses. I would love it if you could stop, turn around, and look behind you. The highs, the lows, the wins, and the losses. And tell me how you feel about the whole crazy journey up until today.
Well, that's interesting because I make it a practice to sit back and count my blessings because you do constantly charge ahead. And even at, I'm 68 years old. I'm still fired up. I'm passionate. I'll probably work another 10 years in this business if my partner will let me. I just love what I do. But I also know that I've got to feel good about what I do. And the way that you feel good about what you do is not by chasing new stuff all the time. It's by actually sitting back and looking at what you've done, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and making sense of it and taking ownership of it and being proud of it. And you can't change the past, but you can learn from it. And therefore, I like to study the past and reflect on it and reflect on what I might have done differently. But I also know if I did anything, if there was any change in the past, I wouldn't be who I am now. So all of the things that I did, the good, the bad, and the ugly, made me who I am today. And today I feel pretty damn good about who I am. And I feel pretty damn good about where I'm going. But it's very consistent. I look at all the lives that I've changed, and I know I'm going to change more lives. That's the good stuff. Now, I can also point out the dumb stuff and the bad stuff that I did. That's easy too, but I don't concentrate on that like so many people do. I sometimes get stuck in that goo, but not for very long. I immediately ask a better question. Hey, what can you learn from that? What was good about that? What did you do that counteracted that? So I think, you know, when the older people, every time they ask the 90s and the 100 years old, what they changed, they say, hey, I would have taken more risks. And I would have sat back and smelled the roses. So I'm constantly looking at the new risks, but I'm also constantly sitting back and smelling the roses.
I love it. Very, very, very well said.
Thank you.
All right, Bruce, we've got to talk about your business in passing. Could you now specifically tell the listener just who My Food Chain is for and where we can track them down?
Yes, My Food Chain is a coaching organization. We coach people to help them achieve their goals. And we operate in a relationship of trust, respect, and caring. Our website is myfoodchain.com. We're on Facebook. under my food chain. And we even set up a, what's it called? A landing page, myfoodchain.com/hacktheentrepreneur. So if anybody, when this is broadcast, anybody wants to check us out based on this interview, that's how they'd get there.
Very, very, very cool. I will get links to that on the show notes for you when you're done walking, jogging, working out, whatever it is you're doing, driving right now. Those will be on the site on Bruce's show notes, as well as I'm going to dig up some Brian Tracy, my interview with him from a couple months ago, as well as if we can track down a link to How to Master Your Time and My Food Chain on Facebook. Bruce, once again, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for sharing so openly with me. I really, really, truly do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome to watch.
Well, thank you, John. And you know what? Like we said, we were going to have some fun and I had fun. How about you?
Me too. It was a blast.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
FreshBooks makes ridiculously easy to use cloud accounting software that helps over 10 million entrepreneurs like you and I with all of their paperwork. Things like formatting and sending invoices, making sure you get paid on time, plus keeping track of receipts and staying organized for tax season. For your 30-day unrestricted free trial of the cloud accounting software used by over 10 million self-employed professionals, go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Well, that was a damn fun conversation. I love your attitude, Bruce. The not sort of caring anymore, sort of what people think or feel about you is something, it's enviable. And I appreciate your sincerity of where you've come from, where you've gone to, and sort of the transitions existing within it, working in sales, sort of your passion for it and for personal growth, and then transitioning into entrepreneurship 20 years ago or so. And it's been a wild ride. So it was cool that you got to share your story with us. I really, really, truly do appreciate it. It was insightful. It was interesting, and it was, I'm going to say, educational. Probably not just for myself, probably for a lot of people out there listening as well. So we've reached the point in the show where I need to go back. I get to take part in the conversation, and I love that part, and it's exciting to be part of it, but it's also really interesting to get to go back and listen to it as you do, as that third party. So I went back, and I listened to the conversation, and then I went back, and I listened to the conversation again. And then I went back and I listened to the conversation again. That third time through the conversation, there was something that I had missed. I'm not sure how I missed it 1, 2, 3 different times, but I did. And then it was so clear. It was so very, very clear that one time that I heard it. It was that one thing that Bruce said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
If I start my own business and I make the decisions, I have control. I have control over as much as I can have control over. And if the best business guy that I ever worked for made dumb decisions at times, hey, I can do that. I can make dumb decisions. And I have the guts to follow through when I make a dumb decision because I will realize it quickly and I'll make a better one. And it motivated me to say, you know what? It's about time. It's time. Just do it. And that's what I did.
And that's the hack. Bruce. I love this. I started my own business so that I could have control, which I think is a reason why most of us probably set out. I think control is the reason to do it. Sometimes we set out because we want to have quote unquote freedom or be able to set our own hours or be our own boss, but those kind of things don't necessarily come because you have to work your ass off to get going and to get your business to the place where you do sort of get that freedom. But it really is about control. And this idea of if I started my own business, I would be in control. And Bruce is working for somebody who's making bad decisions. He's like, I could make bad decisions, which is an amazing awareness to have because you're going to make these decisions. But then to sort of have the wherewithal to admit that you've made the decision, the bad decision, and fix it. Not deny the fact that you made that bad decision. That's what's going to allow you to grow as a person, as an entrepreneur. And I love how Bruce sort of states this. It's about control. And it's also about the self-awareness to know when and where you make a mistake and then to fix it. Bruce, thank you so very much. Well, that was a lot of fun. I really, really, truly enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. Head over there. Check it out. Check out the blog. Been writing a lot. I think you might dig it, you know? It's cool. It's just for you. So while you're over there, get onto the email list and let me keep you up to date with what's happening around the Hack the Entrepreneur world. I think you're going to dig some of the stuff that we're coming up with and creating for you and putting out there. As well, Bruce Morrow, his show notes will be up there. Everything we talked about, including the Brian Tracy episode, which some have said has been one of the best episodes we've done. If you don't know Brian Tracy, he's a world-famous personal development sort of speaker and business coach. He's in his mid-70s, and oh man, he tore me apart at times during the interview. We had a lot of fun. It was cool. It was really interesting and amazing to get to talk to him. So since Bruce mentioned him a couple times, I will link to that as well for you so you can check that out when you get a chance, as well as myfoodchain.com. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.